Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right, hello everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm Kyle, and tonight I'm joined by Bear Goes Long and our in-house meteorologist, Purdue. A little change of pace with Baba touring the Northeast. It's a Saturday evening, so we're going to keep it to a tight 50 for the editors tomorrow. And Bear, I know that you had something that we kind of teased a little bit during M period for talking about tonight. So I'll let you start that off after we get through a little bit of show updates. So next week, our guest is Eric Mason. I stuck him and White Boy Rick together in a room and let them nerd out on economics for an hour. And I don't actually remember how far off the rails that went, but I'll find out when I finish editing it on Monday. Also, Eric and I are talking about starting a new podcast focusing on all the American presidents and more. We should be planning on recording that first installment next week. So everybody who's a member of Vaunt, keep an eye out on that early access channel where we drop the podcast links. I'll make sure to post the stuff in there before it gets published so you guys can give us some feedback on that. Let's see what else is going on. Bear, what happened to you today, dude? You got called away like right before we were set to record. Is everything worked out all right there?
Yeah, so we've talked about before. I'm a volunteer firefighter EMT, and about 30 minutes before we were scheduled to start this, I got a page and had to run away and go to a motor vehicle accident. So,
are you on call, or is that just happen all the time?
Well, I'm on call whenever I'm available. Mm-hmm. So you know, the times during the day when I'm working my day job, I'll just be like, no, unless it's something really critical and it's towards the end of the day, and then I'll check out and go, hey, you know what? I'm going to run off and go do this thing.
Yeah. What about in the evening after you decided to indulge a little bit?
Well, A, I don't do that, but
Purdue with the don't ask, don't tell look.
I've been a volunteer too.
And there's definitely you hit that on the weekends of, oh, it's 10 o'clock on a Friday night. I wonder how many people are actually going to be able to respond.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But, you know, it's a real small community. So, you know, there's not very many of us that are available at any one time. So whenever the call drops, I try to go if I can. You know, there's times where I say, no, I'm doing something else. I got other plans. I can't make it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it just depends on the severity of the call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am struggling to bite my tongue to save some people from volunteering as a firefighter outside of Houston. So I'm just going to bite my tongue and not tell you the stories and how that didn't work out.
I think we've heard a couple of them before. At least I've heard a couple of them offline. Yeah. That's like a whole episode in and of itself. What about you, Mike? Anything interesting going on this week?
Nope, nothing but kids soccer games. Was up till almost midnight last night with kids soccer games. And I'm happy to report my last kids soccer game is tomorrow at 1 p.m. And I'm done with kids soccer games this year.
As long as they win or don't win?
I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Glad to be done. That's all pulling the plug.
Well, you know, think you're done, but then suddenly you got state. And
I know they have actually indoor kids soccer games, but that actually doesn't get going until December. So I'm just happy to be done for at least a little bit of a stint, and I'm hoping to get at least one more weekend of fishing before the winter comes.
Oh, you might be a little bit late on that.
I don't care. I don't care if it's cold. I'm gonna ride my boat anyways, or go through the forest at least.
Good for you, man. All right, let's just dive into today's topic then. So Bear, we kind of teased it a little bit, and I'll try to remember what we were talking about. I think you had mentioned something about not using caffeine and noticing some effects. So do you want to kind of remind us about what we're talking about there?
I did want to throw one little promo in there, and that, you know, I was really excited that the new episode dropped with Sean and Cleo, the Humanity of Trading. And that was really exciting. And Sean has a psychology, I almost want to call it like a boot camp type class, like a 6-week class that's starting up next Sunday that I'm really excited about.
And he also gave us a 20% off link, so if people want to check out his stuff, I think you get like, I think it's 20% off for the first 3 months.
Yeah, for the Discord room.
Oh, that's for the Discord room? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we're doing something with him next week, aren't we? Is that Monday we're meeting with him?
I think it's Wednesday.
Wednesday, the 30th?
Yeah.
Okay, I probably should have actually sent out a calendar invite on that.
I didn't want to steal your promo, so I didn't know if I could tease that one. So
oh, no, feel
I guess
free,
we
man.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, let's get into the topic though.
Yeah. So one of the things that I had noticed is Friday morning got in and I was trading, and it was just one of those days where I got up and pretty much just went straight to the desk, and, you know, no coffee, nothing else. Mm-hmm. And then I was trading, and, you know, just trading really calm and happy, despite the fact that Nkey was shooting up like a mad rocket. I was able to do a, you know, buy, pray, and hold. Close your eyes and buy. That's probably the better term. And then while I was at it, I, you know, grabbed a Celsius energy drink and I was enjoying that. And I was like, oh, this is a nice start to the morning, and got up, and, you know, I managed to get out kind of around that topping formation about, you know, 670, 675. And
I was like,
cool. And I was looking at my results for the day, and I'm like, ooh, you know, this is a really happy day. I could just turn it off. And then I started just getting that trade impulse and started over trading. And I was catching myself doing it. And it wasn't until later in the afternoon that I put together that was about 20, 25 minutes after I started ingesting caffeine and realizing that caffeine, and I'd heard that, especially with my ADHD, that caffeine is a trigger for kind of those losing impulse controls.
Right,
and I had never believed it. And it was just such a stark observation to, you know, I was almost like, you know, a little switch in my brain flipped, and I'm like, whoa. Yeah, and I'm going back and correlating that with previous times where, you know, I've been fasting. So when I'm fasting, it's just water. So I'll go a week with no caffeine. And I always attributed my awesome trading during those weeks to that I was fasting, and I hadn't thought about the lack of caffeine as a component.
So did you get the numbers of those fasting ones? Was there a noticeable difference?
No, I have not gone and done that. The closest correlation I have was the week previous. I was traveling for work. And so I was doing all my trading was purely pre-market and A period. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it before coffee because literally I was in a hotel room. I'd do my trading and then I'd leave and go grab coffee. And I realized it's like, oh, maybe that also contributed to why I was trading so calmly that week as well.
Well, I know that, and that's where the discussion in the chat on Friday kind of led to was, Mike, we'd talked before about you noticing that you had some really good results when you were trading tired. Like, mm-hmm. I think you said that that's some of your best trading is when you're too tired to really be able to think other than just doing the mechanical.
And it's not something I recommend.
Interesting.
And, okay. And that's like the, you know, Bear's EMS firefighter. He's a red eye agent. I'm a red eye agent. I have flown, driven, done many things through the night, snow plowing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I'm adapted to work very late hours, you know, as much as I can think about to my wife's detriment, like, she doesn't understand how I can do it, but it actually trading tired or trading that way, it goes back to your root fundamental of like, you're too lazy to overthink things. And you just go back to your default, like to think about just in the simplest manner where this is what I do. I'm too lazy to overthink this. And this is the trade I'm going to take.
Do what I practiced at that point.
Exactly. And again, I don't recommend it, but it is something of an observation that I've made.
Why wouldn't you recommend it?
Because a lot of people can be not accumulated or, you know, assimilated to that type of trading, can be assimilated not to that type of mentality. I grew up with it. I've grown up since I can remember being sleep deprived.
Yep.
Whether it was high school football, through military, through driving, through just adolescence. Like I was brought up being sleep deprived. Like I was the guy that drove back from Vegas. Actually, it was Laughlin.
Laughlin. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was the guy that was nominated to drive. I was actually underage to drive to Laughlin. I was the underage guy that drove all of his buddies to Laughlin, which is just outside of Vegas on the Havasu riverfront near Lake Havasu, and stayed up for 72 hours straight and eventually drove all the drunk SOBs home because we got kicked out of Laughlin and banned out of Laughlin and banned out of Vegas for a year. And I drove, I was up for like 71 hours straight until the WL Alliance started making quadruple lines. And I said, we're either pulling over or someone else is driving.
God, I've gotten that. I think I've tried to be on the road a few times that tired, and it is not fun.
and I was the dummy. I was used to being sleep deprived, and I was the volunteer that people would lean on to that I could stay up all night and do that type of stuff. But I am acclimated to being sleep deprived. Like even I own a landscape company. I'm used to running snow plows and running through the night. 36 hours is not a problem for me at night.
But Mike, is it more that, or is it more that you have to have the mechanical habits built in order, you have to have something to fall back on if you're going to rely on those. And if you haven't spent the hours that you spent backtesting and practicing, you're not going to have that mechanical reflex.
It is just that. Yeah. It is just that. And it's just like, I was talking about Barry, he's EMS. He is a volunteer firefighter. He has the background. He has the skills. He has the defaults to fall back onto. And that's why I was saying I don't recommend this to anyone
unless you've worked a lot of shift.
Don't have that back set.
Yeah.
And I actually was talking about in the chat was that I find it actually a little bit easier when I'm tired. And it was just what came into that conversation is that I have a very large bid in front of me on the company side, and I have had very little sleep, and it just was more systematic to me about my trading. Mm-hmm. It did this. I'm going here. This is my stop.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yep.
Instead of overthinking things.
And I actually did something unusual for me at the beginning of the week is, you know, I came from back home, came back from my business trip with, you know, some kind of cold, chest, sinus congestion stuff. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I woke up and I'm like, no, this is trading's not that important. And I let myself sleep through the first, 2 hours of the market and then get up, did a little bit of trading and actually traded really well. So,
yeah, I've been leaning into some of that too. Like if I'm not ready, then whatever, I'm not ready. I'll take the time I need to get ready. The markets aren't going anywhere. And yeah, I might miss some of like the prime moving times, but okay, whatever. I'll just come back tomorrow then.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter.
And one of those days, all I did was miss an hour and a half of chop. And actually, when I started training was when it started moving. I'm like, dude, that's perfect timing.
Well, it's not always going to work out that way, obviously.
No.
It's that matter. Like, it doesn't matter what the market's doing. Are you trading on your time? And the key to the last episode was, are you trading to your values and tying that in? There's like, it's been resonating that the whole point of that was, are you trading to your values? Does this trade entry reflect my values? Does this trade entry reflect my kids going to college? Like, does this reflect my kids making the mortgage payment? Like, those things are what you're paid on. Those decisions are what you're paid on. And you taking key to all those mental things, are you emotionally there? Are you physically there? Like, all those things, that's what you're paid to do.
Yeah. It's kind of like the whole higher time frame idea, right? Like, we harp a lot as traders on taking a break and looking at the higher time frame of the charts. But what that's doing is looking at the higher time frame of the consequences of your actions. Are you going to feel comfortable talking to your wife in 3 hours, showing her the boneheaded entries that you made? Yeah. Or are these smart decisions that just didn't work out? Like, one's a lot easier to explain than the other. One feels better trying to explain than the other. I'd say that.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it easier to explain that, hey, I had a really good first 30 minutes of trading, and so I locked out my platform so that I couldn't touch it and walked away? Or explain that, yeah, I had an awesome set of trades in the first 30 minutes and I went up a ton of points, and then I got excited and I pissed it all back.
Then I leaned into it and...
I need to go back and listen to that episode again, because I was driving. I wasn't really paying that much attention. I picked up some of the key pieces.
My wife and I actually don't have many conversations about that type of stuff, besides she always wants to know what I lost and what I made. But the key to it is, did you hit your goal?
Mm.
So she gets more upset when I exceeded my goal and I didn't close it up. She doesn't give a shit if I win or lost. It's, did I hit my goal and did I let it go?
Did you talk to her about that? Like, is that something that you guys came to?
Yeah.
See, when I talk to my wife, it's usually more like, here's a heads up of what happened. Here's the good things that I did. Here's the dumb things that I did. This is how I'm going to improve tomorrow. But I do it more for, it's not as much for me. It's more for her, to let her kind of have an idea of like what kind of person you're going to be dealing with in the next 3 hours. Mm. Like, hey, I had a really shitty day. I need to play some Mario with you right now and go get high. Or, or I had a great day. Let's go celebrate.
Play some Mario and get high.
Right. Exactly.
No, I love that. And that actually gives me some ideas, because that's one of the things that's really missing in my trading, is that accountability.
That's it.
The person that I can have that conversation and accountability to, and, not having to go and, look somebody in the eye and go, yeah, I just, I made a bunch of money and then I threw it all away. I lit it on fire. Definitely impacts my chaining.
What I find, I don't know, Mike, maybe you find something similar, but I mean, Laura has no interest in trading, no real knowledge other than just what she's edited from helping, edit this podcast. But she's got some really insightful things that she comes up with some days when I talk to her. It's like, why did that happen? Let's talk through it. Like, geez, how'd you come up with that? Like, yeah, all right. That makes sense.
I wish I had actually a little bit of that insight. My wife just cares about more so, has no, absolutely no interest whatsoever in the technical side of trading and that side of it.
Right.
She just knows I have a perspective of I win, lost, or attain my goal. And she's broken it down to a simpler spec, because that's where I measure myself every day. And so she's taking that level of cognizant to figure out where I'm at every day. And it is just that, because I literally have a set minimum that I'll lose for a day, and I have a set maximum that I want to make for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth. But that's like the idea, like at the, and I've broken it down very simple. Like when I'm copying my trades and so forth, I want to make a minimum of $200 for each account.
Right.
And that is my minimum. If I get over $400, I better not lose more than that $200.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's very simple how it breaks down. So I'm not losing less than half of what I want.
Well, it sounds like what she's doing for you is she's just cutting through all the bullshit.
Exactly. Like,
there's no excuses. There's no, just the bottom line. Let's hear the bottom line.
And, because that's how I measure myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I hit my loss? Did I hit my hurdle, the $200? And if I hit my goal, did I stay above it?
Yep.
Basically, did you follow your plan?
Because
what it comes down to.
What is my nemesis? I
really like
tilt.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it all back, fighting it all over. So besides me losing half of what I already won is a big, I screwed up, to put it lightly. The other one is losing twice than what my maximum loss was.
Yeah.
Which is actually a hard stop on my accounts.
Yeah.
So that shows cracks in my character. It shows cracks in my trading. It shows cracks in my philosophy. Like, it shows all those things to my wife, who's my accountability partner.
But see, that's where the growth, I think, comes from, is you're using them to try to improve your weakest points.
Yep.
Like you've actually identified where your weaknesses are and where you need strength. And I've kind of done the same with my wife. Like, I need her to understand like what I'm going through, and to be able to offer some sort of feedback on some of the stuff that maybe I can't see because I'm too close to it. But like, I get a ton of value from that, and I hope other people do too, because it's just a great resource. It's sitting right there. Why wouldn't you take advantage of it?
I wish my wife was more into, I can actually see it going both ways. if your wife was more into into trading, like StockMD talking about his wife is into trading and trading, like I actually prefer my wife not be into it. But yeah, that's why I was breaking it down to the simplest aspect without, I actually did try to bring it into it and it didn't work out.
You know, we should ask Mark.
I did as well.
Out. You guys remember Mark D? It's been a while since I think he's popped in, but I remember his wife was slinging options and doing fairly well. I wonder how that dynamic works where he's trading.
If you haven't heard from him, it's probably a good key indicator.
No, he pops in here and there. He had a couple of kids, so he's been kind of not around as much as he used to be.
Yeah, I had a similar experience, gosh, a year and a half? Probably a year and a half ago. I'd introduced my wife into Top Step and, you know, got her trading on the, you know, just on a practice account, sim account. And she got really into it. Really. But it was like a flash in a pan. She chased it really hard for a few weeks and then just got mad because, you know, she couldn't make it work for her. So she's just like, and then just threw it away. She's like, nope.
It's interesting that. And that kind of ties into the topic that I kind of wanted to talk about. So unless we got anything else on making it mechanical and trading tired.
Go for it.
I have one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
That I plan on implementing probably next month. My oldest daughter turned 13, and I plan on her looking at after hours and the stuff I've taught her. And I'm going to have her start placing trades with $100 stop loss. And see how that goes. And I'm not going to be hands off. I'm just going to say, go up or down. And I'll put $100 stop loss and we'll see where that goes. Like, that is,
I love that.
Something that I can't wait to experiment, because she's actually pretty good at it. Like the whole Baba, like,
two
kids know better than us.
Yep.
My like Flaherty's kid.
Oh, God. Flaherty's kids are scary good. My 16-year-old has expressed a lot of interest over the last year. And hey, when are you going to set me up? Set me up with a client. Set me up with a client. And I hesitated for various reasons, and actually now I'm a little disappointed because I bugged him and I was like, hey, you still interested in learning that? And he's like, nah, I'm working on this other stuff. And I'm like, ah, dang it, I miss that opportunity. But that just made me realize, because one of the things is I'm not trading with Sierra anymore, so that was gonna do, I was gonna set him up with Sierra and just a practice account. But I'm I see the thumbs up there.
I'm back to Sierra.
But now that I don't have that as an option, I'm sitting here and I was going, man, what can I do? But then one of the other things I'm realizing is that I really need a better, a replay platform. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, hey, if I set up a decent replay platform, I could give him access to that and not have to worry about him having access to any of the live accounts.
I mean, you can do that in TradingView, can't you? Don't you just do, doesn't they have a replay function on there?
You can, but it's limited.
Yeah.
Like, for example, for me, they limited the time, how far you can go back to get volume profile.
Well, even though you don't have an SE account anymore, can you still use the SE data and just look at it delayed?
SE data. What's SE data?
It's one of the platform service data connections you can select. It's just their internal data.
I don't, because I'm also not paying the monthly platform fee, because there's two fees you pay on Sierra. Yeah, no, there's the monthly platform fee, and then there's the monthly data fee. I'll play with it, but I don't think I can.
Yeah, you might take a look and see if you can't just get delayed data. I think you might be able to, but you might, I don't know. I was playing around with that before, because I think I remember still able to use it to backtest for a little bit, even though I wasn't actually having any accounts hooked up to it anymore.
Well, one of my best decisions ever was to get myself off this year.
I kind of went back to it recently, and I actually missed it a little bit. I kind of like it still.
I understand that, and I can understand the give and take, but for me, and this is something I want to put out to everyone, stop paying for what you're not using just to have the fancy platform to, that makes you look like you're a fancy trader or a full-time trader, or you know more than you don't. I don't care. I just need a candlestick chart, and that pays rent for me.
That was exactly. Flurry,
and that's the Flurry's phrase that always resonated with me was, is it paying rent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, Sierra is not paying rent. I don't like the creators of Sierra chart anyways, and all they need is a candlestick chart. So why am I paying for it?
I don't really care
for
them.
And either, once I stopped trading through Sierra, it lost its value. I still used it for a while just for charting, but then I was doing all my trading through TopStep X.
Yeah.
And I started looking at it and I'm like, God, I'm paying $100 a month for Sierra data. I'm paying $150 a month for this other package. And I'm like, holy crap, that's a lot of money. And is it delivering value? And then I step back and I'm like, wait, I'm paying for all this TradingView stuff. Let's look at what we can do in there. And I realized I could get 95, 98% of the same information through TradingView. And then I really sat down and I looked and I'm like, well, I don't actually use most of that stuff. I don't actually need most of that stuff.
Yeah.
And now I've come back and I've been experimenting with Edgeful and some of their tools layered on top of TradingView. And I'm like, this gives me everything that I was getting from Sierra that I was actually functionally getting from Sierra for way less money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're, frankly, a scalper and want to use a Tetion connection that Sierra has and so forth, I don't see it worth it.
That's actually what I did. I ended up getting Tetion routing.
All right, that's what it is, Tetion.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Tetion routing and the Tetion data is really, really good.
It is, but I'm not a scalper. I'm
on
a 1 hour and 5 minute chart. Like, I don't care.
Nice.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I got a little bit of time left. I'll get this other topic going here. So, like, I kind of talked about this a little bit on Friday too, and lately it feels like the excitement has kind of like gone away from trading lately.
Good.
Yeah, that's exactly what my thoughts were too. And I was like, man, I need to lean into this. And so that's kind of been what I've been trying to do, is if I don't feel it, then I'm just not going to do it. Like, I don't need to trade every day. And I think it was a conversation with Sean when he said something that really resonated, like the guys that can't wait for on Friday. It's Friday. What am I going to do? It's not, markets don't open until Monday. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I used to be that guy.
Yep.
I used to be that guy. That was one of the things that initially drew me to the markets, though. But I think we needed that excitement when we first got into it, because if you look back on it, that's really what I think supercharged a lot of our learning. But
Sean's phrase, trading intoxication.
If you want excitement, get a hobby. That's what JM just said. Yeah, exactly. So I've been trying to lean into that. Not like if I'm not feeling it, I don't stick around longer. Like, you guys may have noticed, I haven't been trading more than hour and a half at most days, because I've found that after 2 hours, my decision making gets to become questionable. I make poor choices.
That's like a whole nother topic, though. I mean, like,
I know.
There's like, that topic is a rabbit hole for me. And this is a conversation with me and my wife, is just that, like, is trading, and I've actually noticed it myself, like trading is another adrenaline jump. It's another dopamine dump. It's another distraction from actually doing my job. I am a high adrenaline junkie. And is this another way to express that? So that's a whole nother hour conversation plus.
And but I mean, I think you do it long enough and it starts to, you start to become numb to it, right?
Nope.
No, you don't?
Nope.
Like that's kind of what my experience has been. I feel like I'm just getting numb to the feelings of excitement and the feelings of despair. Like it's all starting to mellow out.
For me, there's an emotional range and I'm really cognizant of that because when I get into that super calm mindset, that just really, you know, relaxed mindset, I can trade really well. And it's when I start to get like hyper and invested, that's when I start trading like absolute garbage. And I realized I do that even with accounts. And that's kind of one of those things I'm going to take back to my therapist and talk about is I'll assign values to accounts and go, oh, I care about this account. I want this account to succeed. You know, this combine account, yeah. I want to pass this combine account. And there's this other account. Maybe it's a practice account or maybe it's a different combat account. And it's like, oh, I don't really care about that one. I'm focused on this one. And I'll put a trade on those ones and then switch away from the account and just let the trade happen. And then I'll come back at the end of the day. I'm like, I made $3,000 on that other account. Oh, that's because I put the trade on and I just left it and it ran all day. Oh, crap. Why didn't I do that with my real account? Duh.
Because you cared about it.
I get what you're talking about, Bear, and I'm a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Good.
What do you mean?
Everybody's different.
The higher the stakes, the more focus I get and the more easy it is to get me in flow.
Hmm.
And that's like, why I love flying, why I love motorcycles, why I love going fast. I like doing one thing and one thing only. And if you interrupt that, I will be very mean to you, to put it nicely. But like,
is this why you have trouble trading at work?
Exactly. And it's also why I have trouble trading and having people in my ear, and I'll turn my mic off and everything and be quiet. I like that and I miss that. And I yearn for it, frankly. Like it, whether it's flying, whether it's riding a motorcycle fast, a car fast, I love that feeling. I go for that. That's what, you know, flow state is I like that. And my personality. Wait.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's clarify that then. Flow state is a lot different than adrenaline seeking. You're talking about being in that zone where everything is just crystal clear. Focus. You know exactly what you're doing. You're reading everything perfectly.
I've been in that state many times trading.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten into it a couple times trading. I've experienced it more coding, but it is a beautiful thing when you get into it.
Can you be in that state when someone talking in your ear or having a chat conversation or blah, blah, blah?
Probably not.
So that's my point. A lot of times when I turn that conversation off, I'm there and I feel like I don't want to interrupt anyone interrupting that. Mm-hmm. Or I feel like I'm in that place to where I'm in a very good mood. I feel like I see the market. I want to lean into this. And this is why I turn off all communications, everyone, and focus on that. Yeah. My favorite thing to do when I went through college, I had a 98 Camaro hopped up. And I used to go to Sedona Canyon from Prescott, Arizona, and it'd take me less than an hour to go there. And it would take most people 3 hours. but again, I used to play instrumental music. I didn't actually play like normal music. I would play theme songs of movies.
Yeah.
Like the Robin Hood soundtrack. Like I love
Bryan Adams.
Yeah. But it would have no song. It would have no lyrics to it though.
No words. Yeah.
This was back when CDs were a thing, guys. So it was like hard for me to find Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. Like I used to listen to Forrest Gump scores. Right. That's what it was. It was scores.
Scores. Yeah, yeah.
But listen to Forrest Gump scores like that, where it just takes you out of your environment. It's just ambient noise and you just drive.
Best score I've ever heard is the Conan the Barbarian from 1984 or 82 when that movie came out.
Do you like that one?
Basil Palazarus, I think his name is.
And on my left screen over here, I have a play track that is called instrumental and over here, and I play that.
Nice. Yeah, we have to do a music and trading again. I think we covered that once.
But what I was getting at with Bear, like, I get your idea how you can compartmentalize and put this stupid account over here and this one over here, and I'm trading this one. I've found it more and more lately, especially because I am trying to get rid of the prop accounts and go towards my cash accounts, how more easier it is for me to get there because I'm taking it more seriously on what I'm doing. And it's kind of like that give and take too, also of being socially, you know, yeah. Going back to the podcast in a Discord room and this and that and your buddies and not being ostracized about talking. So
and actually mine is a little bit opposite, and I hope it's a fairly unique case that I can now that I'd narrow it down, I can work through, but I do have some like success anxiety stuff. I don't even have a good phrase for it.
I'm the same way as you, Bear. If I care about it too much, then I have a hard time exercising the trades properly. Like, if I don't care, then it's a lot easier to put the risk on and not worry about it.
I think mine is actually more of a self-sabotage impulse. That
yes, exactly.
I've been working in and out of for several years, and like I keep getting closer to it, and then you know I'll have like a big breakthrough, and I won't have any issues with it for months. So I'll trade great, and then it pops back in, and that's a whole different conversation. But that's why for me, those ones that if I set a trade and I set a trade and I switch accounts and I'm looking somewhere else and I just let that trade run, you know, and period challenge, we're getting ready to for M period challenge. And I flip over to Brad practice account and I'm like, I'm up $3,500 in the day. How did that happen? Oh, that's because I put those trades on and left them. But even that will happen with Combine's account. If I'm trying to manage it, I will sit there and drive it. And sometimes one of the places I'll get into sabotage, and we've talked about this in a different episode, is that what's Flurry's term for it? It's basically winner's upstuck. Yeah, winner's lust. There's a different term.
Winner's lust. But yeah, upstuck. Term too.
Where you know, I'll get over like, okay, you know, I have my goal, and then, you know, I'll just happen to catch a great trade and I'll get to like three times my goal. And I'm like, holy crap, this is an awesome day. And then part of my brain, you know, something in there steps back and says, oh, but you know what? I wonder if we can do even better. And then just drive it. Yeah. Yeah.
You should lean in. You should double your size. You've gotten three free trades if you size
you're
them this
amazing.
Way. Yeah.
You might as well call the Lamborghini dealership and put in your order.
I'm like looking around my office if I can find like a meditation whip to hit you with.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's what I think you need. You need someone over your shoulder just to...
I do.
No, you know what we need to get is we need to get that Rich Friesen image that I forgot to snip. I need to get a picture of him just doing that. Look, that shaking the finger at you. I think if you have that as your background or like up, like in the corner of your charts, maybe that would probably make us think twice.
That was my therapist. She actually, gosh, this is at least a year ago, but she'd play the video from Bob Newhart from like the 80s in a SNL skit. I think it was SNL skit. And the woman's coming in and going, oh, well, I do this stupid thing. And he's like, you know what? The next time that happens, you just need to think to yourself, no, stop it. Don't do it. Stop. You stupid person. Stop.
I think I remember that. It sounds silly, but I think there's a lot of value in that. Anything that injects humor and takes you out of those moments, makes you like kind of laugh to yourself. Like, that's something I learned from Andrew. Like, they took my stop, but you know what? I wasn't a chicken shit.
Get that emotional reset.
Yeah. It gives you just a little something to take you out of that moment, take you outside of yourself.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I'm working on from Sean's room is trying to, you know, he's got these random timers that'll go off and says, hey, you know, it'll ping you and go, hey, go pull yourself out of the market, sit down in your journal and write out a sentence about, you know, how am I feeling emotionally? And just to pull you out of, I need to figure something else out. I need to find like a little random timer that's running on my phone. It just, you know, sets off an alarm every like 15 to 20 minutes, just to pull me out.
Purdue, you used to do that.
Mine was a random timer.
Okay.
It used to be every 30 minutes.
Ah, yeah.
I was doing that the other week. I had one that was going every 15 minutes. The problem is that becomes too routine and you adapt to it. And this goes back to the whole psychology piece and random intermittent rewards is the most effective because your brain can't expect it.
Makes sense.
And I'm sure there's some other logic in there.
For me, it's been dialed in every 30 minutes. I always self-assess. I always look at the 30-minute candles. I look at the 30-minute. If it's top of the hour, I look at the hourly candle. If it's the top of the 4-hour, I look at the 4-hour. It's kind of my way of assessing where we're at. And it very much works for with IB or close to IB. It's just, I don't have a timer anymore for it because it's you know, ingrained now. I look at the time all the time. When I'm making a trade, am I close to 15 minutes? I better look at the 15-minute chart if I'm going to initiate a trade. Like it's always, if I'm going to initiate a trade and it's, you know, 2 till top of the hour, I'm looking at that hourly chart. Where am I at?
Yeah. The timers helped you build the habit. Now that you've gotten the habit in place and running smoothly, you don't need that anymore.
Exactly.
Is that, do you feel that's also tied to kind of like your pilot's checklist?
It is.
Hey, every 15 minutes, every 5 minutes, sit back, do an assessment. Okay. Where am I at? Am I still on position? Am I still on course? Am I still on the right, you know, altitude?
Do I see any traffic nearby?
It's not necessarily. It's more of actually just my trade checklist. Because okay. when I'm looking to initiate a trade, I need to look to the closest highest time frame I'm at. So if I'm 4 minutes till a 15-minute change, I better look at the 15-minute chart to confirm that's. And it goes to how I look at auction market theory with candlesticks.
Mm-hmm.
So nice. That's like a whole nother rabbit hole, but it's looking at, you know, did the last candle or is the last candle expected to close, you know, 50% above the previous candle, something along those lines. If we're going with trend, are we getting close right now expectedly below the previous 30-minute candle? Like those are the continuation trades that I lean into.
I just posted in the chat. I just posted mm-hmm. in the chat a link to your EDU thread that you did on auction market theory. If anybody wants to check that out.
Oh, nice. Do you also use it to when you're evaluating a trade to kind of anticipate and go, okay, we're 5 minutes away from the 15-minute candle closing. If the candle closes here, that's good for this trade. If it closes up here, that's bad for that trade. So I need to
100%.
You know, that's where I want to look at my stops and entries. Okay.
Yeah, cool. It's 100%. It's that domino effect. If I'm looking at a 15-minute candle about to close in 5 minutes, and it's looking to be a bullish reversal on the 15-minute. And I go down the 5 minute or the 1 minute, and I see where the reversal is already happening on the 1 minute. And then the 5 minute is about to close going into the 15 minute. That's what gives me the confirmation. It's like that domino effect of where you're looking at the 15 minute and you're seeing where the sellers are losing it. This is one of my favorite examples, and a piercing candle, a piercing mm-hmm. candle on the 15 minute where the new candle that you're currently trading on made a new low, but is now closing above the 50% line on the previous candle, which is a piercing candle. So the 15 minute is about to close up there.
Yeah.
If you go down to the 5 or the 1 minute, you will see the reversal even tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lean into that side to find a low risk entry to expect the next 15 minute candle to make a new high on the previous 15-minute candle.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
You're using lower time frames to look for the higher probability that the high time frame is going to follow along.
Yeah.
You see the same pattern because they're all fractal, right? So you're going to see the same patterns play mm-hmm. out on smaller time frames and play out on the higher.
And that's yeah. where 100% my trading is now. Besides looking to the higher time frames, as far as like what Wyckoff taught and stuff like that, but. And my volume profiles as far as balance goes, but that's where everything I have right now is I don't need, and that's why I don't need Sierra. I look at candlesticks, I look at levels, I don't need that other stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. You're not trying to scalp on the 30-second time frame, the 500 tick time frame.
I have gone down to the 5-second time frame here and there.
Mm-hmm. Like, thanks. I've been playing with the 5 and 1 second on UB, but that's for other reasons. should we do some good, bad, and ugly then?
Sure.
I can kick this one off then. I don't have too much on here. Good was I finally set up a daily loss limit in my Sierra Charts broker. Mike, I think you've been encouraging me to do this for quite some time. The good was not just setting that, but the good was that I never had to test it this week. So I put it on Monday to start the week off. I got close on Thursday, but I think I realized I didn't have enough room to even put another trade on, so I didn't risk it. I was like, yeah, I'll just go home. Let's see, what was also good? Oh, I also, as I mentioned earlier, I took my first live UB trades in a live account. So the results are looking kind of promising on there, just testing out what I was doing with the other prop firm before they cut me off. So hopefully I can get some data and go back to them and be like, you fucking assholes. the bad, and this kind of ties into what I brought in up with the topic. So the not feeling the desire or the urge or the need, I guess, has also kind of been affecting some other aspects of my trading, specifically the journaling portion. Wednesday and Thursday, I didn't journal at all. And I didn't have a good reason for it either. I just didn't feel like doing it. So there's some growing pains in that, like embracing the not needing it, that I still have to kind of work through, like all the ancillary stuff. I still have to put that work in. It's just that losing the motivation to do it that I had previously. So I have to find new motivation now, I think. I don't think I avoided anything in particular by not journaling those days. So I'd marked it as bad, not an ugly. Like if I had had a blow up day and then just avoided it, yeah, I'd probably reconsider that. But I mean, I had a marginal green day on Wednesday and then less than max loss day on Thursday. So, I mean, I think they were within acceptable risk parameters. And then I realized what I was doing on Friday and just went right back to journaling that day. So that was, I think, my week in a nutshell.
I have a confession that is probably an ugly.
Oh, no. You're going to tell me you haven't journaled in like a month?
3 weeks.
Mike.
But.
Yeah.
It's not new.
What do you mean?
If my trading hasn't changed, my metrics haven't changed. I understand if I had, I can already hear the excuse, if I had the time and resources to do so. But over the last 3 weeks, I did the largest RFP bid that my company, that I personally have done in my 15 years of being a landscaper over the last 3 weeks, that took precedence over me journaling. But yet I still traded here and there.
I was going to ask, yeah, why did you trade then?
Because that time is, you know, allotted during the day. Like I have 2 to 3 hours every single morning. This is where I pay attention to the markets.
Yeah.
The problem where that came up was total. It was part of my journaling has always been part of my decompression of the day, which is like the last 2 hours of the day. I still do my personal journal. I haven't stopped that, but the copying and pasting from this journal to Notion, you know, or these screenshots to Notion and doing that type of stuff, I have elapsed from over the last 3 weeks. That being said, I can honestly say over the last 3 weeks, my trading has not changed a beat.
Yeah.
So I am not necessarily mad about it. I know there is performance metrics that I can lean into to grasp from and learn from and, you know, build upon that I'm missing data down the road.
Well, see, here's the difference between you and me, Mike. Like I'm still working through the emotions of trading, I think. Mm-hmm. And for me, journaling is very important for me to have a better understanding and awareness of that. I feel like you might be past or a lot further ahead on that development path than I am, to where you maybe that's not the key benefit you get from journaling necessarily. Yeah. Like for you, it's about looking at your stats and then trying to figure out how you can squeeze extra edge out of your trading.
It's data.
Yeah. For me, it's more like, why did I make these decisions? And if I don't analyze them immediately after the fact, then that data is lost. I can't go back and recreate what emotion was I feeling 5 days ago.
Yeah. I just wanted to be honest. Like I've been off the path on that. So
yeah, I just want to make sure that people don't use that as an excuse. Like, oh, Mike doesn't journal. I don't have to journal.
And you've seen my journals and you've seen, I've shared my Notion with you. Like I was very intense in journaling.
Yeah. What about you, Bear? How'd your week go?
Interesting. You know, I've really been stepping in back into the 331 journal. Just to stick to that topic.
That's the
three things I did well today.
Yeah.
Three things I can do better. It's, you know, keep things positive focus.
Yes.
Through its reason. And this all comes from AlphaMind, by the way, and Stephen Goldstein's book. But so three things I did well today, three things I can do better, and one thing I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really kind of stepped back into that this week. And then like I talked about, you know, that's one side of my good. The other side of my good is, you know, really giving myself permission to not trade. And, you know, I didn't feel guilty, didn't feel bad about it. And then I sat down and, you know, I took a few trades, I hit my goals and I walked away. And then kind of rolled into kind of my bad, ugly is kind of a mixture of things. I caught some really good trades and then started experimenting with some sizing and did really well.
Experimenting.
Yes, experimenting. It was long. Let's keep this succinct. I had been I'd step back to M&Q, and I wanted to know psychologically, is M&Q, you know, trading the smaller dollar amounts, you know, trading two M&Qs instead of one M&Q, how's that going to affect my trading? Mm-hmm. And generally what I found within limits is it really didn't change anything.
Really?
Although I did find it much easier to let trades go to target. I was much less tempted to chase or, you know, follow my stop, trail my stop, and then, which made me less susceptible to, you know, my trailing stop getting wicked out on the middle of a big move, and then, you know, getting any kind of, you know, having to deal with emotion or revenge type trading impulses. So into the ugly, I had that great move on Friday. You know, I missed the first kick of the move up, but then I was able to grab just the smallest of pullbacks and jumped in there. And, you know, and I was, as it was going up, and I was able to kind of scale in, scale out, you know, I was able to work scales, did really well, banked like over 75 points. And I'm like, wow, okay, cool. This is great. And I've been copy trading into a combine account, and I actually maxed the combine account. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. And, you know, hey, the combine account's locked. Sweet. and then somewhere in there, I let myself get caught up in the emotional of, cool, I did that. Now what can I do next? And I let myself overtrade when it was sitting there barcoding around the 690. That 690 point, it was barcoding, and I was mostly seeing, even the more that I got sucked into going, you know what, they really could push up, because my next target up there was like the 720 730 range, and I'm like, it really looks like it wants to push up into there, and you know, there's that should be a magnet point. But at the same time, I was sensing, I was like, man, they're really doing a really nice job here of sucking in late longs, sucking in late longs. And so that was part of what chopped me up, is I flip-flopped several times between long and short, rather than being willing and able to step back and go, okay, let's just evaluate and let's watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's figure out, how do we position for this so that we're outside of the fight? One of the questions I'm always asking myself in a trade is, am I in the middle of the fight or am I on the edge of the fight? Because I always want to be on the edge of the fight. And I didn't do that. I could not pull myself out of it enough. And I ended up, I gave the whole day back. And it was just one of those, you know, I saw the train wreck coming. I watched it and I'm like, ooh, I'm getting close to my, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm under $1,000.
So the precursors that hit those off, it seems like the commonality has been hitting some sort of goal in an account, one account or another, right?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that your stopping point?
That's the good question. That is the key question. And that was the thing that I was doing really, really well back real at last spring and last summer, was my good enough.
Yeah.
My good enough that I learned from Flurry, and celebrating that good enough that, hey, I hit $1,500. That's good enough. Lock it up, walk away. Or even, you know, other days is like, hey, I got over $200. I got $201. Woo.
Right.
And not letting myself celebrate that. And that's that, I think that's another missing piece of the habits that I need to rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah. I would highly suggest, just when you hit those things and you feel that more monster starting to try to come out of you, like,
yeah,
that you need to, we need to quash that guy immediately.
Hey, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I'm going to talk with Sean about, is kind of building, you know, helping myself build some extra tools to catch myself, because I saw it happening. I watched it happen.
But see,
and I'm like commenting, I'm like talking out loud and going,
awareness.
Why
is step
shouldn't
one.
I stop here?
Awareness, yeah, is step
it is.
One.
It is.
You're going to be much more likely to stop next time. I promise you that.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't run from it.
Not my first time. Not my first time, but I did get a different set of clues about what was going on. That, you know, I wrote down some notes and I'm going to send some stuff to Sean and talk to him about, you know, don't want to drag it out here.
Yeah. So we got Wednesday to cover that one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But it's that's the one thing I can look at it and go, oh my gosh, I'm really upset at myself. I actually used the word shame at one point talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, this is not the first time I've been here. This is not the first time I've been down this path and down this lesson. But I was able to look into my feelings and emotions and extract a different set of triggers and realize that the overtrading is not the cause. The overtrading is a symptom.
Yeah. Yep.
And I need to stop trying to treat this symptom. I realize I have been putting all of my efforts into treating the symptom. How do I stop overtrading? How do I stop overtrading? How do I stop overtrading? I have to dig a little bit farther back and really nail down what is the trigger that's causing this symptom and how do I turn that piece off?
Yeah.
That was like way too deep.
Yeah. No. Well, that's all right. I'm wrapping this thing up anyway. So.
Yeah. Call it okay.
But
yeah.
Okay. My two cents about what you're saying, Bear.
Yeah.
You know, Jocko Willens, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite phrases that I always lean on a lot, especially when it comes to my own personal depression, when it comes to my own personal things and demons I deal with, is that your emotions are there to help dictate your decisions, okay?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Your feelings are not. So when the alarm clock goes off in the morning, you get up in the freaking morning because your emotions and your decision was already made prior to get up at said time and get the fuck up.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Okay.
Okay, but Kyle, yeah. This goes back to the decisions. You made the decision when your motivation was and your clear mind was to do X, Y, and Z, and this is where the grind that I follow, the discipline, like that is something I lean to. And it's not like you're not gonna have your faults and have your, you know, your defaults where you're just going to try and go back. But it's something that I always constantly lean on is that you made a decision at this point in time to do X, Y, and Z. Follow the goddamn plan and mm-hmm. do that. And that is like, why do I get before I am in the morning? Because I decided I'm going to get before I am because this is who I am. And this is what time I have to do my workouts.
I don't know if
I can't see it's blurred.
I'm not quite seeing it.
It's not working. Damn it. It's my today I am. I am every day.
That's my plan. And that's missing from my plan right now. My mm-hmm. good enough. Put in my plan. Celebrate my good enough.
But you made the plan. You made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Stop laying into your emotions at that time and say, I made this decision. I am following my decision, not my emotions.
Yeah. And I am 100% taking responsibility. I'm not blaming anybody on this one.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, I'm just trying to lean into the whole idea because I fall into that. I feel like I'm tired. I'm sore. I just want to be in bed. Like, you made the decision to get up at this time. Get the hell up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with trading. I think in the same way, you made a decision. You are taking 2R. Either you're breaking at a loss or you're getting 2R. And you cannot move your stop until you hit your damn 2R.
Yeah.
And then move your rest of your position at break even. Yeah. That's like mindset. Like,
if you get stopped out after hitting, close to take your profit, it comes back and wipes you out at break even. Then you celebrate that and you say, hey, look at that, man. I executed the plan flawlessly and
mm-hmm.
I did not intervene.
That is the joy that gets me off right now. Like, it goes out the wrong way, but I seriously am like, I get more excited now about I am a stubborn asshole and I followed my plan.
Yeah.
No, I mean, after I blew up that account on Friday, I went out and I took a break and then I fired up a combine account and I'm like, no, based on what I'm seeing on here, this is the trade. And I took a trade in NQ and I took a trade in ES and I set both of them and I said, no, this is the trade. And I walked away. I didn't entirely walk away. I watched them, but I let them run and I let them execute. I let myself not be invested in the result other than this is the trade I think is going to happen. This is what I think is going to happen. And it hit.
Yeah. You controlled what you can control. The rest of it's up to the gods.
But and that's, really it.
But
I think I'm gonna have to make the decision now to end this show. So
yes, sir.
Damn it, that's happening now because that's what I said. No, thank you, Barry. Thank you, Purdue. Thank you, everyone who listened for sticking around to the very end here. Remember, please show our panel some love. Click on those links in the show notes. Visit VantaTrading.com if you want to trade with us every day, except when there's hurricanes. You can visit Banda Trader Podcast, or you can browse our back catalog by guest. We'll be back soon with another episode, hopefully more effective than China's stimulus packages. But until then, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a great week.
Awesome.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.